Hey, it's Jeff and Jeremy from the Ultra Running Guys. And if you are here, you probably already know that we started this podcast to help you take your next step in your ultra running journey.
But what you may not know is in addition to this podcast, we also host two live races in the Wilmington, North Carolina area that are designed to do the same. One of which is the Hydra that we just hosted. It was an absolute blast. So stay tuned for the release of the 2024 date because you won't want to miss it.
Speaking of not missing things, for now, go ahead and mark your calendars for September 16th when we host the final countdown. And whether you've never run before or you're a hardcore ultra veteran, this race is designed to help you find your limits, and we'll be there to celebrate it with you.
So share with your friends, check us out on theultrarunningguys.com, and you can always check out the links in the show notes for more info.
And with that, enjoy the episode. And remember, when in doubt, just show up.
There's three whistles in backyard. Three with 3 minutes to go, two with 2 minutes to go, and one with 1 minute to go. We had a rule, and I have the rule for all of my athletes since I started with backyard. You're on the start line with 1 minute to go with that final whistle. Nobody else is there. You're on your own, and it's amazing.
And welcome back to the Ultra Running Guys. You got Jeremy Reynolds and Jeff Winchester of the Ultra Running Guys. And the reason that we're here is to help you take your next step in your ultra running journey. So first off, to the Ultra Running Guys family, thank you for taking the time. It absolutely means the world to us. If you haven't already, we would love a review. We'd love the rating. Tell your friends. That is how we grow. But we're going to get into it just like we always do. Right away. And I am absolutely ecstatic about tonight's guest. And while it may be partially for super selfish reasons, which I'll get to in a second, after researching and plugging into this guy, I can confidently say there are few people that we've come across that put out as much value into the world as the gentleman that we're about to talk to. And while there are enough accomplishments to easily allow a 10-minute introduction, I'm instead going to rattle off a few of his highlights. So listen close. Our guest is a renowned athlete and coach who's also the founder of both the Inner Fight Gym in Dubai and the Inner Fight podcast. While chasing a cycling world record in 2018, he had a nearly fatal collision with a truck and then struck a wall traveling 33 miles per hour, shattering his shoulder, breaking 7 ribs, and puncturing a lung. But rather than let that setback sideline him, he chose to fight, and a mere 90 days later, he was back to crushing endurance challenges, starting with a trail marathon that includes 5,000 plus feet of gain, and 30 days after that, completing his own 50-50 challenge, which, get this, is a 50K bike ride, then 50K of running, followed by another 50K of cycling to finish it out. And here's where my selfishness kicks in. He has recently coached both the male and female UK record holders in the backyard ultra format with 89 and 35 yards respectively. So you know we'll be digging into that. And we believe that really this is just a guy that if you take the time to listen to what he has to say, it could fundamentally change your life. His passion and perspectives have captivated us, and we can think of nothing better than to share that with our community. And with that coming to us all the way from Dubai and UAE, Marcus Smith, welcome to the show, man.
Wow, thank you so much. You warned me that you'd done a little bit of research, but that's absolutely off the chart. Hands down, one of the best introductions I've had. Gentlemen, thank you very much for having me here.
I'm personally exhausted myself.
Yeah, I'm really tired.
That was a lot.
Jeff was going to cut me off halfway through and be like, just bring him on.
I mean, just let him start.
Jeff. I was feeling the same, mate.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed overwhelmed with everything he's done himself. He's like, I've done a lot of junk.
And like we said, man, that's literally tip of the iceberg. I mean, you know better than anybody. There's so much that if you just go look at your website, we didn't even cover. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about some of it. I meant it, man. So we, you know, first got introduced to you, we started researching, and you just keep uncovering these different things that have been so impressive. I'm going to start this off a little bit different than we normally do, really just because I think of kind of who you are and what you built yourself out of. But I've got two questions for you. I'm going to ask you the one at a time. When you think big picture, what excites you?
Wow. you sent me loads of questions and this wasn't one of them. How do you stitch me up like this? This is amazing. I think on a big picture level, to be totally honest with you, we can do anything we want to do. And that's really the big picture. And for some people, that's quite overwhelming. But if you look at, I mean, let's bring it straight into the world of ultra. Some of these races are quite big, you know, and we're used to, I thought when you're doing the intro, I'm like, we're in this American system, we're in miles and feet now, but I'm going to use what I'm good with.
Yep, I had to convert in all transparency.
But, you know, when you think of it, it can be quite daunting to run even, you know, a marathon or a 50K, whatever distance you're at. But I think that's such a privilege. So to answer your question, the big picture is just an absolute privilege because we're in an age where we can go anywhere, we can do whatever we want. And fortunately, I found a way of doing that on either 2 feet or two wheels through ultra, really. And I think that's quite incredible. And if you go back 15 or 20 years, we probably didn't really have that mindset. I think we had the opportunity because it's crazy because all the places we go to do these races and to see this stuff, it's been there forever, but now we found the vehicle to take us there. And I think that's exciting. I think it's just incredible. Like, you know, and this show is a great example. And I'm sort of scratching around online. I find you guys, listen to a few shows. I'm like, wow, these guys are talking cool stuff. You know, I've just woken up. You guys are just going to bed. We're having this call and we're just talking about this thing called Ultra. And it's like, it's really cool, you know? And I think you have to sometimes get a little bit sort of basic about it and realize and start to develop gratitude about what era we live in and what opportunity we have. And that for me is the big picture right now.
Love it. And you reference, but for everybody listening, so it's 4:30 a.m. or just past 4:30 a.m. UAE time. So that's huge, man, that you made the time. But all right, so that's what excites you. Now, big picture, what scares you?
The biggest fear I have, and I spoke about this to someone recently, and it was very tough because it was the first time I've really managed to put it into words. But the biggest fear that I have is that I won't be here for my family. And that's probably from my crash, you know. And I think if you extrapolate that a little bit, I guess what I'm scared about is people that trust me to help them in no matter what capacity it is. I don't want to let them down. And, you know, does the races scare me? I think previously, yes, they did. But that's because I was coming from that mindset of, you know, I'm doing this because it's so scary and then everything else will be better. And I think my mindset, we were talking before we started recording on opinion change. And I think opinion change is natural evolution of humanity. You know, it's okay to think different to how you thought 10 years ago. Like, that's okay now, you know, and it's always been okay. So you can spin it around. But my motivation now for races, for challenges and events is I actually ask myself, does this excite me? And if it doesn't excite me, then I'm not really that interested to go out for 6 months, wake up super early, train really hard, sacrifice a lot of different things, say no to things, spend time away from my wife. Why would I want to do something that just scares me? I want to do something that I'm super excited about. So I think that's definitely one of the biggest things that's changed in my mindset and my coaching, that we should be excited rather than scared the whole time. There is a good side of a little bit of fear though.
Well, I think the big picture kind of things, and I think where Jeremy's trying to go a little bit also, is that people in general are inspired and motivated just in life by one of two things, either things that excite them, that draw them to do something, or things that scare them to death, that they're afraid of, that they don't want to be alone in life or whatever it is. And so they tend to live their lives either chasing this excitement or avoiding this fear. And it tends to drive a lot of their behaviors and everything. When you look at yourself and you think of everything you've gone through just over the years, where do you think your drive every day comes from when you wake up in the morning? Like, where does the drive come from?
I thought about this a lot, and it's really understanding sort of purpose, who you are and what you actually want to achieve and what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. And that hasn't happened overnight. but definitely since 2018, since my crash, I'm almost in a state that I don't really want to waste any time. So I want to wake up and listen, I have to do admin, right? I have to, at the end of the month, I have to get my bills together. I have to plug it into Excel and I flipping hate it, you know, but it's like, there's certain things that they're part of life, but if I'm waking up every day hating it, then there's something wrong and I'm not doing what I love doing. And I'm like, I'm wasting a day, you know? And when you've come a little bit close to things sort of ending, I guess, you get a little bit of a look. And I lived before, but it really sort of pushed it a lot harder. And I had to ask myself, like, what makes me happy? What do I want to wake up every day and do? And that really drives you into self of purpose. And it's where I start with people. It's like, who are you and what do you actually want? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's such a simple question, but it's so hard. Like, who actually am I? And then, you know, it can become very deep, very fast. And in a world that is becoming increasingly superficial, it's a little bit left side, isn't it? And, you know, especially in I guess my business, which is coaching people, you know, dude, I came to you because I need a run program. I'm like, yeah, but it's not anything about the run program. You know, it's about understanding really who you are. And that's what running and ultra does for a lot of people and why it is so powerful, because in an age that's so busy, it enables us to disconnect. And if you're someone listening that takes your phone with you and checks it every 5 minutes, we can't be friends. So just, I've got to put that out there. But it gives us this unique time to really ask ourselves these questions. So I think that's really my answer there, Jeff, is that, you know, I want to wake up excited every day. And I love sitting down of an evening with my wife and just like, what am I excited about tomorrow? And how good was today? Like, what made me happy? And you know what? You can go on the bit of the woo-woo stuff and, you know, I'm here having a coffee and, you know, get grateful for the coffee. Like, this, like, why not? You know, A, it tastes nice. B, it's in a really nice cup. It's hot. So that means I've got power. And, you know, people are like, oh, God, this guy's a bit of a hippie. I'm not a hippie at all. But I'm like, you know, you've got to create these focal points that really drive you forward. And it's hard. It's hard. And it's a constant endeavor.
So I know we're about to talk about the accident that took place in 2018, but I am very curious. Do you think the way you look at life today, about being grateful for your coffee cup, for example, right? That it's hot, that you have power and you connect with your wife every night. Did you do the same types of things pre-accident?
I did, Jeff, but I wasn't so conscious about them. I think a lot of behaviors that I've practiced are, they're a little bit ingrained in me, because when I think about like our daily debrief, when I was growing up, we'd always sit at the dinner table every night and we'd have that time as family. So that's like a learned behavior. So there were some things that were taking place, but my level of consciousness around them is massively increased now. My attitude and my, what I just generally call my level of relaxation has increased massively. It's like, why should I actually be stressed about that? And I do get stressed about certain things and, you know, it's not always easy, but yeah. So it's a mixture of the two, but it's funny because if you'd have asked me at the end of 2018, like, has anything changed? I'd be like, no. But now 5 years on, I'm like, everything's changed. Mm-hmm. Everything and nothing, you know, like the meaning that I put into things has changed a lot. So yeah, I think big life events, they will introduce new behaviors, and that whether that's starting out on a running journey, that could start to introduce new behaviors, or whether it's running your first ultra or having a big event in your life. But if you put a little bit of work into yourself, it will also enable you to reflect on, you're probably doing a lot of good things. Like, we're not all heading for a crisis, you know, despite what we get told often, like, you know, you're not doing this right, you're not eating that right, your training's wrong, your mindset's wrong. Like, it's really easy to turn around and tell everyone they're wrong. But I always look at people and I'm like, wow, there's some area of their life that they're actually really, really successful, you know? And I'm looking at you guys, like, we connected straight away. So you guys have this awesome skill. So I'm like, okay, how can I then take that skill and put that into what you want, which might be running or could be something else. So it's a game of self-awareness, which is pretty much what life is, I think, a lot of the time.
That's cool.
That's exactly. So again, that was a little bit different, right? Just kind of starting off with those first two questions. But the reason is because as we've studied you a little bit, I was like, okay, this is a mindset guy. This is a guy that's put a lot of time into thinking about what's important to him, thinking about growth, thinking about personal development. And to your point, I think that process was taking place well before 2018, but that gave you a unique perspective, that incident. And so it really just hit. And that's why I was like, I just want to hit him with it to hear what comes out, you know, to start. But let's talk about the accident. And we've actually got some, I've got some really relevant questions to a few of the things you just said. But everybody listen, you've got a documentary. It's called Fight for Every Breath. And so we're going to talk about this. We'll put it in the show notes. It's well worth the watch because you're going to go into probably more detail than we talk about. But this was February of 2018. I talked about it some in the intro, but just set the scene real quick. Give us a quick summary kind of what happened.
Yeah.
And then we've
you
got
actually
some
nailed it, mate. You got all the detail out there, but in simple terms, in at the end of 2017 or mid 2017, someone gave me a call and this sort of links back to things that excite you versus things that scare you. And this guy called me, he said, we're organizing ultra cycling races and there's four races on four continents. They're like 1,000 kilometers each, which is probably about 650-700 miles. I'll try my best. And and I was like, this sounds unreal, like, you know. And he was talking about there was one race in Oman, there was one race in Taiwan, one in Corsica, and one in South America. And I was like, this sounds epic. And if something clicks, probably like a lot of listeners, I'm all in. I'm like researching, you know, it's an obsession. And so I'm super excited. And I was like, this is awesome. It was a good time in my life. Anyway, fast forward to Feb, and I'm 2 weeks out from the first race. And the goal was that I would set the record. They were like, there was no one else that's going to do all four or has the ability to do all four. And I was like, really? You know, anyway, so that was the goal. And I don't know, at that stage, I think this world record, it kind of resonated with me, not a lot, but I was like, that's quite cool, you know? And yeah, 2 weeks out, I'm training on a road that I'd ridden 100 times, and I was in the wrong place, to be honest. We're going down slight decline, and we'd literally seen no cars the whole day. This is how crazy the whole thing is. And I see this truck up ahead, and I'm like, why is this truck going so slowly? And it was like a Saturday morning, and we're coming down at like 60 k's an hour, and the hard shoulder was super wide. So we're enjoying it. It's like we've got a lane to ourselves. He's just going to be over there doing his thing. And at the last minute, the reason why he was slowing down is because he was turning right. But he was turning right into like a blind entrance. And he's come across me. I've hit the front of him, and it's pushed me onto the pillar at this entrance. And I've just gone onto that. And yeah, that's when that's the game changed, right? In a split second, as it does. You know, and it's nuts. I'll skip a little bit to one of the biggest or the craziest things about it, because, and then we can maybe talk back from that. But the day before, I put a post on my Instagram, and it's still there. It's on the 9th of February, 2018. And it says everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And not that I remembered it immediately when I was laid on the floor, but later that day, when I was in the ICU, I was like, I said that yesterday, and look at where I'm laid. And you know, you look at all of these different things, like we ridden this route before, we used to stop at this gas station, and we always used to have a coffee. Like, and we walked in that day, and the guys are like, no, we don't need a coffee. I was like, no, I'm buying. We just got a water and we left. Whereas if we'd have had a coffee, it would have been this split second difference. And you're like, don't, you know, and I did. I woke up in the hospital bed, and my wife, when she got there, you know, and I was like, why has this happened? You know, why me? I'm in the shape of my life. I'm going off to do this thing. And you immediately, and I think this is human nature, right? I think if anyone says otherwise, they're probably kidding themselves. You do ask these questions. It is a victim mindset as we know it out the blocks. And I think that's a normal human reaction. What you have to be comfortable with is that you're never going to get an answer to your question, why me? Why has this happened? And I said this to someone recently, a good friend of our club and community, one of her best friends, got his life taken in a bike accident. And we had a ride, like a little bit of a relaxed ride just to pay respect to him. And I was sat at the back with her and she just had all these questions to me. And it was probably a bit harsh in the moment, but I just turned around and I said, Naj, don't waste your time trying to answer them. There aren't answers. You won't know why he got killed at that point. And that's the hardest thing that you have to come to terms with. And we're curious. Our curiosity as humans is so good, and it's led us to so many things, but then it becomes our downfall. So yeah, that was, it was a crazy time, you know, and it was hard. The pain is one thing, and I don't love to talk too much about pain because I think it's very individual. And I think the world of ultra has got too many people talking about how hard things were and how painful it is. And no one actually has a gauge because we don't know. We don't know how we all feel about pain. But the mental challenges of that situation, of being in intensive care, of not knowing, you know, intensive care is crazy because no one knows anything. Like, they just don't know if you're going to make it or not. And I thought I was all right, but their faces are just, it's like the poker face the whole time. I'm like, just smile, just so you think I've got like a tiny chance of making it through here. You know, just give me a signal. And as I say, I thought I was going to be okay, but it's just an each individual encounter as time goes on becomes clearer and clearer to me. And some days I write about it, and some days I just lose it. I just cry about it on my own, you know, and that's a way of healing as well. I think the same as the ability to pick up a pen and to let something out, I think, and I don't cry much. I went to boarding school. I was probably, my emotions and feelings were probably suppressed for a long time. But I'm like, if it's coming out that way, let it come out that way. You know, if you feel that you're going to heal through going out for a run, go out for a run. You know, don't suppress what you feel. Let it play out and just see what happens. So long as you're not putting yourself or someone else in danger, which sometimes does happen with people's feelings, because a lot of feelings become anger. And I don't like that either, as we spoke about earlier. So yeah, it's a crazy time.
One of the things that stood out to me, I've heard the story in a variety of different ways, like I told you before we got started on the recording here. When you were in an ICU and you were questioning everything about why this happened to you and everything, your wife came in and told you that basically that it did. And to understand that it did happen. And her saying that black and white statement began to help you not question the past, but really to understand this is where I am, this is what's going on, and to kind of accept that fact. And I personally, as an ultra runner, took my own teaching lesson from her statement of that to you. And I thought, of course, because if I'm in a race and I'm dealing with pain or dealing with an issue or dealing with a stomach problem or whatever it is that's going on in that particular moment, instead of trying to figure out what did I do wrong in my training, why am I not ready and all this stuff, is to begin to just, like, you know, in that moment, just accept the fact that this is what's happened and to move from there, as opposed to staying in this mental mind pit of just garbage. And so her statement for you on that, I thought was right on at the right time. And I thought it was a perfect thing. So I just wanted to kind of close that part of it out that I remembered about.
You're absolutely right, Jeff. It's probably, if you said to me, what's the best thing your wife's ever done for you or taught you, that would be it. It's exactly what you said within a race. And I sort of put this thing together, these 4 points of what I call the ultra mindset. And that's number one. Like, too often in a race or in a situation and race life or whatever, we're trying to deny that it's happening. But you absolutely said it, mate. We've got to accept what's going on. You know, we've got to admit that we've got a problem or it's not going smooth, and then we can figure it out. It doesn't mean that it's going to derail us from finishing the race or from achieving what we want to achieve in life, but we're really good at going through life in a state of denial, aren't we? And if one of our friends doesn't pull us into line, then, or does pull us into line, we go to the next friend until we get the answer we want, and we can stay in this state of denial. And, you know, as they say, misery loves company. So we'll definitely find someone who wants to wallow in our crap with us and in our failure. So yeah, it's a very good point.
You mentioned ultra mindset, four key components. Let's talk through that, man. I'm excited about this.
Yeah. The first one, Jeff stole straight off me. So it's obviously not my work. It's out there for everyone. Let's put this straight out there. The first ultra I entered was in 2013. So just on 10 years ago, 300 kilometers, single stage. First half of the race was all on the mountains, and second half was through a desert. It was like 100 miles through a desert, soft sand. And I was at war with everyone. I was fighting myself. If I had the energy to fight guys at the checkpoint, I was fighting the guys at the checkpoint because it was their fault. And so it was an absolute baptism of fire. That's what really kicked this whole thing off. And I think we're at this point where, as I was saying, like, it's easy to say everything's going fine. And then I was like, well, everything's not going fine. And we have to be big enough, and we have to drop the ego, and we have to admit that it's not going fine. But the second point is that we have to reject that what is happening will stop us from getting what we want. But what normally happens if we flip it around is we deny that we've got a problem, whether it's a blister, sore legs, or sore head. We somehow allow it to detract us from the goal. And that's really, and I know you guys know this and a lot of the listeners know it, that's really the crux of ultra as well, isn't it? It's like, we'll find a way, you know? So point two is to reject the fact that if something goes bad, that it's going to derail us, you know, because the flip side is literally on the couch with soda and chips, and we don't want that. So the third point is the hardest, I think, for a number of people. It contradicts our central nervous system, because when we want to achieve something, we're basically in fight or flight mode. However, if you look at life and ultra, they're quite long endeavors. And for some people, a marathon could be quite a long time. To be in a fight or flight state for that long is very hard and insanely tiring. This is why we need to relax. We need to go into the rest and digest. The relaxed part of the ultra mindset is probably one of the things that I've worked the hardest on myself, and also the hardest on with clients, especially. It's been exacerbated through tech and through COVID, because people are unable to relax, you know? And going back to what I was saying earlier about people come to me for a run program, and they actually might be very good runners. And a lot of us are very good runners. Like, we are made to run. It's everything that's distracting us that is causing us unable to run. Mm-hmm. Like, we're the best runners in the whole animal kingdom. We can go for the longest. We're not the fastest, but we can go for the longest, as I'm sure everyone knows. And I'll ask athletes, clients, I'll say, sweet, today's training, I want you to sit distraction free for 5 minutes, just to sit and to be and to train relaxation. And they're looking at me going, mate, you are, I said, just go and try it. And literally, and this is what will happen, and this is the problem, 90 seconds, they'll send me a message, I've done 90 seconds. I'm like, why do you even have your phone? You know, so we're in this. And you take that into a race where you're starting to feel stressed. You're very tired. You're mentally and physically fatigued. It might be cold. It might be dark. If you're unable to relax a little bit, then what's going to happen? You're not going to think clearly. And, you know, so relaxation is super important. And then the fourth pillar of the ultra mindset is, what can I do now to make this situation that I'm in a little bit better? Like, what would make it better? And when you're in a race, it could be super hard to mentally digest that to make your situation a bit better could be to sleep for 5 minutes at a checkpoint, because all of your competitors or everyone else, even if you're not really competing, is going by. You feel like you're losing time, you know. Or I mean, when I was out in the Sahara in 2015, it was hot like hell. You know, all I wanted to do was just get under a tree for like 5 minutes, you know, and I managed to find a tree at one stage and just sat down. And one of my friends said to me, he's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm just relaxing. Like, I'm absolutely cooked. If I sit here for 5 minutes, I'm going to get up and I'm going to be okay. If I keep going, I'm going to go into the red. So my point is there is like, what can I do right now to make the situation better? It might be just to sit down and chill out, you know? So there's sort of four key points that I spoke about a lot to people, and I've used a lot in my own coaching and training, because I think we're really good, aren't we? We're good as humans with acronyms and like, give me three things I can do. So I put them into four things because that kind of worked. But then the number one, and Jeff got to it before I got to it, is acceptance. Admitting that things are not going great, and then you make a plan.
I'm going to clarify the 4 points because I was taking notes as you were talking. So tell me if I'm on point here. So one is accept the situation, right? In other words, yep. Like, hey, take true stock of the situation. Two yep. is reject the fact that that situation is going to drive me into the ground, right? Or that I can't get to the finish line because, so I've accepted it, but now I've got to reject the fact that this is the end or it's forever or any of that.
Correct.
Number three is relax, like you said, kind of, yeah. What'd you say?
Rest and digest.
Thank you.
Nervous system. Yeah.
And is that really just a matter of, okay, how do I get my mind? Like if I'm on the trail and I've got gnarly blisters and I'm like, oh my God, my mind is spinning. Got it. Okay. I've got blisters. I'm going to reject the fact. What would be my relax point on the trail?
Stop freaking out.
Well, I mean, that's easy to say,
but that's actually the idea. What he's getting at is to lower your heart rate, to lower your freak out mode. And so if you begin to panic that your blisters are going to cause you to derail your race, then once you've rejected it, you're like, okay, I need to just settle down, take a deep breath, get my mind right, and then execute the plan. And
then problem solve, right. Which is right. The yeah. fourth, right? So, how do I make it better?
The key is actually the biggest to me, that's where I was refraining. To me, the third one is the most critical one. Because you're going to experience all these things. And yeah, you do need to accept what's happened to you. But most people panic and they freak out. They ask questions. Why is this happening? If they could just settle down, then they won't give up on their goal. They will understand what's going on and they will be able to come up with a plan because they've relaxed. But most people freak out in that moment. And all they're doing is thinking out of how to get out of the situation.
100%. Mate, you've nailed it. And I'm like, this is what you came for. This is the beautiful part in a way. Like, I don't want you to get blisters. I don't want you to get injured. I don't want stomach issues. But this is like thinking we're going to go through life without having stress, you know? But when we just calm down, as Jeff said, we just relax a little bit, bring the heart rate down. It's like, this is actually what I came for. This is what I signed up for.
That's how you dig out of the low. This sort of,
exactly. Mm-hmm. That's it.
So sticking on the mindset, dude, the other thing is I was going through your site, at your website. You've got one of my favorite tabs on there, dude, was your book list. You've got a list of books by each year that you've gone through. You know, it's something that I think that is important to both of us, both from a personal development and just reading and continuing to learn and all that. I'm interested, one, how critical has personal development been to the guy that we're talking to? And then out of all those, is there anything, if I said, hey, give me like one or two favorites that a listener may want to go check out just from that book list, what comes to mind?
Yeah. Personal development. The first question is huge. It's actually written on the page on my website. I think it's read something like, I don't read to relax. I read to learn, or something quite arrogant like that. If you're just a normal listener, but I don't find, like, a lot of people just like get tucked into a book. Like, I'd rather just get tucked into my bed. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm reading to, and you'll see by the genre of books, I read generally biography. I try not to read too much sort of common day self-help, because I think it's all quite the same. And I think you can get overloaded and action is a lot better. But I like sort of biography and stuff. So that's the sort of genre, and that's why I read. So yes, it's all about self-development. And I'm a little bit same as I have been a lot with my training over the years. You know, there's a target for my reading of how many books I want to read. And, you know, sometimes I find myself actually having to read a book twice because I was behind target. So I read it too fast and didn't even pay attention. You know, when you've read an article, you're like, what did I actually learn there? You know, and that's one thing I'm always trying to sort of challenge myself with. One book I can really recommend, and it was probably, it just came at a time last year where there was a kind of a lot going on in my life with my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and one of my friends sent me a book called Being Mortal by a gentleman called Atul Gawande. And it's just incredible. Like, I think a lot of the time, why we're back on death, but why death is so difficult is because we sort of don't admit that it's actually a huge part of life, and we're all mortal, and what that actually means, and therefore what each day means. And it links to what we were saying earlier of sort of living each day. So that's an incredible book. It's really heavy though, you know, because if you're not quite clear on those things that we spoke about, like who you are and why you're here, then it's going to send you into a massive spin. And that's the problem with a lot of these books, to be honest, at the moment. Like, there's certain books that I will give to some people and not to others. In my office, I actually have 3 or 4 different books that I will give to people. And that book is not one that I would give to everyone. Born to Run by Chris McDougall. Yeah, that's a book that I will give to people that are, you know, that are inquisitive about running, and to try and get that. And by inquisitive, I mean they're starting to understand that it's not just running. Which, if you understood that, then you understood that. If you didn't, then you need to go and read that book. You know, and I'll keep. A few copies of that. I'll also keep a few copies of Tuesdays with Maury, which is an amazing book about a student and his professor from university. He meets him later in life, and he's dying of ALS, which is sort of motor neuron disease. It's just the body is just breaking down from inside whilst he's completely sane, and he goes to see him every Tuesday. And it's, again, super powerful, the meaning of life and all this stuff. But to finish my book list on a high, or probably on something that might be a little bit easier for some people, I think one of the best books I read that's helped me, because at the end of the day, I run my business, like you guys said at the top of the show, and Richard Branson's Losing My Virginity, I read when I think I was about 23, and I was just like, you can do anything you want if you just know what you want to do, and you just go and do it. Like, you know, the guy, the way that he started Virgin Atlantic and what he did on the first flight, it's just, read the book. It's just like, you're literally laughing that this guy's got one of the biggest airlines in the world. And, you know, he leased the airplane. It was all just, it was everything all in, like $1 left in his bank account, and it all worked out. And not for everyone it works out, but then I look at him now and the way that he bought Necker Island, I'm like, this guy's just a dude. So, that's cool. That's my reading.
Very cool. I appreciate that. So let's jump into Backyards, man. This one's near and dear to my heart. I'm running the Capital Backyard Ultra at the end of May. It's kind of been the race format that I've been focused on. So we mentioned in the intro, you have coached Keith Russell and Karen Nickel, 89 hours and 35 hours respectively, which is 370 miles and 145 miles. So this is legit, right? My personal best was 32 hours and I was just ready to be done, but I'd like to better that. But when you messaged, man, you said, hey, we've used some, you know, kind of unconventional methods. So let's do this. Tell me how to win. That's really what I want to know. Tell me how to win.
You got to relax.
It's interesting because the way to get good at backyard, it's a very difficult event to train for in its format because it takes so much time. So how do we train you? You said about 32 hours there. Like Keith wanted to do, like he'd done 63 hours. So when we went to Germany last year, you know, he's in his mind was up at 100 hours. So what we have to do is we have to train the mind and the body to feel what it feels like at 30 hours without doing 30 hours of running. So what I do is I have what I sort of call simulation weekends and almost like special blocks. So a special block could start out on a Monday or a Tuesday. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to load the legs. So I'm trying to make your legs as heavy as possible. We could start with some hill work, some 45 minutes of hill work with, obviously, because we're ultra runners, we'd run at least 45 minutes to find the hill, and then we'd do the 45 minutes of hill work, and then we'd run. So we're just creating a lot of load in the early stages of the week. Wednesday, we could go out and do sort of a long run. Then I'd start the simulation on a Thursday, where the simulation would start with two different things. One would be sleep deprivation. So Thursday night, I send you out, and now I get specific. When principles of training, obviously specificity, you need to know what it feels like running for a loop, relaxing for 10 to 15 minutes, running another loop and repeating all of that. So we do it in smaller chunks though, with sleep deprivation. So you'd finish work on a Thursday night. There's something about cognitive fatigue that's super important. You're close to the end of the week. You've hopefully it's been a miserable week at work. Well, I hope no one has a miserable week at work, but I hope it's been, you've really had to use your mind. So you're mentally a bit fatigued. And if you live in a country that's a bit cold and miserable, it's even more perfect. The last thing you want to do at 9 p.m. on the Thursday night, after we've done, let's say some hills and a long run on a Wednesday, Thursday night, 9 p.m., you're going to go, and all you're going to do is five loops. So we're going to set out a loop. You're going to go. I'll let you, because it's early days, I'll let you come back into your house. We won't make you sit in your deck chair under the tent or anything like that. Then you're going to sleep for about 2 hours. So we start at 9, we're going to go to sort of 1 or 2 in the morning. Then you're going to sleep 2 hours. Then you're going to do another, or you can rest for 2 hours. You won't sleep properly. Then you're going to do another 2 or 3 hours before work. Then we're going to come back on Friday night. You're going to work all day Friday. And you're going to get more cognitive fatigue. And you're going to be more stressed about what's coming on the weekend. Friday night, we do the same thing. We'll start about 6. We'll do 6 to 8 hours. I'll give you a couple of hours off. Saturday morning, we'll do another block. Saturday afternoon, we'll do another block. Saturday evening, we'll do another block. Depending on where the athlete is at. If we're talking about someone who's just starting, we wouldn't do so many of these blocks. But what's happened here from Thursday till Sunday morning, your mind is only thinking about running this bloody loop. I'm giving you these breaks, but there's no break. So we're experiencing insane levels of mental fatigue. It's not super hard on your legs. We might not run, you know, depending, as I said, you know, Keith ran over 300 miles, like 89 hours. It's sort of the top end. But we might not run a whole load like the and in Keith's training, like big weeks for him, we wouldn't run much over 100 miles. Like I've got all the data on his training peaks. I worked with him for 4 years and we figured out that high volume is not what makes him go. He doesn't need high volume. He needs these special training blocks to build his mindset. That's what he needs. So I actually started training him for Marathon de Sable, and we put, he lives in Ireland, and we created a room in his house. We put heaters in it and put a treadmill in it. And we just do crazy sessions on that. And he's just looking at a wall. It's just building the mindset to keep going. Honestly, Jeremy, that really is the secret. And if you've been through that from Thursday till Sunday, then you know what it feels like, because it sounds so simple. But you're going to be so cooked, because then it's Sunday morning and you're like, I need to get to work on Monday. And there's no time for recovery. So the mind is doing exactly what the mind does during backyard. Like you look at backyard, by the time they normally start on a Saturday, by the time it gets to like Sunday night, people are pulling out just because they're like, well, this is not going to go any further and I need to go to work on Monday. Like I encourage all the guys I train, like take 3 days off, take mm-hmm. 4 days off, take the week off. And they're like, why do I need to do that? And I'm like, so you can stay in the race and you don't have an excuse. Like that really is the secret. And then it's like, the other secret is the rest side. And this is where people, from what I've seen, really get it wrong. So if a race starts at midday, what happens when it gets to like 8 or 9 o'clock at night is that your body starts to shut down. It wants to go to sleep. Now we can train it all we want, but we can't go against humanity, Mother Nature, and the circadian rhythm. When it gets dark, you're going to want to go to sleep. So why don't we let you go to sleep? So I'll have runners start to sleep from about 8 or 9 p.m. on the first night. So they've not even gone 12 hours and we'll start 5-minute naps. So we try and get around in about a 45 to 50 minute loop. We'll have everything really well organized. That's one of the things we got to take care of our admin, right? So we're presuming that you've got all of that in line. So from 8, 9 p.m., 10 p.m., we have 5-7 minute sleeps. That needs training as well. So we'll put that into the training. So when we're doing those simulation weekends, we'll make sure it's not just come back, check your phone, watch 2 minutes of Netflix. It's like, right, you're going to come in. This is another little secret is people don't take their shoes off. So their feet end up in their shoes for like 24 hours. Mm. That's where we start to get blisters. And it's just something so simple, like 5-10 minutes of air on your feet, but you need, sometimes you'll need a support crew there, you know, and how easy are your socks to get on and off? How easy are your shoes to get on and off? How many pairs of shoes do we have? How are we getting them dry? How many pairs of socks do we have? When we took Keith to Germany, I think he had like 8 pairs of socks and we were washing and drying the socks throughout the 89 hours. Hmm. He didn't have one blister. 300 something miles, a little bit of up, a little bit of down, 0 blisters. And all we do, we take his shoes off, we'd air his feet, we'd put some talcum powder, dry them out, he'd sleep there, wake him up, 2 minutes to go. This is another, sorry, mate, I'm really just drilling these out at you. Another thing for the mindset is there's 3 whistles in backyard, 3 with 3 minutes to go, 2 with 2 minutes to go, and 1 with 1 minute to go. We had a rule, and I have the rule for all of my athletes since I started with backyard. You're on the start line with 1 minute to go with that final whistle. Nobody else is there. You're on your own and it's amazing. And you're already feeling better and you're smiling and you're ready for the next loop. Just smile, no matter how much it hurts, be there 1 minute before and smile and you'll see how lifted you are. And it sounds a little bit, it sounds harsh on the others, but your positive mood against them will immediately elevate you because you're there. And what normally happens, a lot of the crews will only wake up their runners with like 1 minute to go and then they're in a rush and then they've realized they haven't eaten and then they're grabbing stuff and then they literally just make the start line on the go whistle. So with my guys, I'm like, and we're the same here, like all of our endurance sessions start 1 minute before the time. So we don't start track at 6 a.m. We start track at 5:59 and we've always done it. So I took that into the racing. So there's all the secrets. All you have to do is just go and do it, mate.
So one question after the weekend block, because as I'm listening to them, like, okay, I get it. And at my 32 hours, it was mental versus physical, right? I mentally was like, I'm done. I don't want to be here anymore. What does recovery look like from that block? Only because my concern, right, is, okay, if I wear myself down like that, at what point do I get injured or do I have a problem or something like that? So the back end of that, what are you doing?
Yeah. So if you look at something like that, again, I'm trying to give as much as I can, but I understand that we might have some runners that are trying to get over 12, 18 hours of backyard format and others that are about up at 40. It doesn't matter. It's the amount of load and intensity in that week would just change. The principle is the same, that you can only do one or two of these special simulation blocks leading into a race. It depends how conditioned the athlete is. They have to be around 4 to 6 weeks apart. So you'd finish on that Sunday, we would do nothing for at least 5 to 6 days.
Okay, and so then, you're building in a pretty serious recovery on the back end of the season.
Yeah, huge, huge recovery, Jeremy. Like you, and it goes back to relaxation, right? You have to recover. And it sounds really nerdy, but we'll set like quite aggressive sleep goals. So it's like, you know, 9 hours, 10 hours. But what we generally see after big training blocks or after events is that a lot of stuff drops by the wayside. So we'll see sleep hygiene goes out the window, tech hygiene goes out the window, food and hydration also goes out the window. So although that's a recovery week, we'll be a little bit strategic in the recovery week as well. And then, yeah, if you do all of that, you'll definitely win, mate.
I've got one question really for anybody, not just for backyard. I'm just interested if you've got any kind of non-running extras, whether it be strength work, yoga, those types of things that you see as kind of non-negotiable when you're talking with your athletes, like, hey, these are the things that I need you. And so what are they and why? You know, just give us a couple.
100%. You said it there. Strength, 100%, should be in every runner's program. And it's probably, from my experience over the last 20 years, it's probably only in about 15 to 20%. Because runners don't want to get bulky and blah, 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 blah. So some form of strength program, and it doesn't have to be complicated. You don't need to go to a gym. You don't need to be intimidated by the guys on steroids. You can just do your strength. It's all good. We can figure that out. That's number one. Actually, some form of, I don't love the word like mobility. And I also don't love the word yoga, but some form of that. Like before I chatted to you guys this morning, every morning when I wake up, I do about a 7 minute, what I would call a little bit of a yoga flow. And then every evening I'll do a 20 minute stretch mobility yoga. And I just feel a lot better for it. It also forces me to have no distractions, just to be. And I think that's good, which is the third thing, a little bit of sort of mindfulness around why we're running, why we're living, if we want to go on a deeper level. So whether that's journaling, whether, and people journal in all different ways, right? Some people journal through an Instagram account. That's their way of getting out there, levels of gratitude, this kind of stuff. I think they're really important tools. And then I think as well, the final thing, which is a lot deeper and a lot harder, and you know, we've mentioned it a lot, is really understanding why you're doing what you're doing. You know, and your motivation for running, for doing a race, a certain format or a certain distance, it can change over time. It doesn't have to define you just because you're a good 5 miler at school or a good marathoner at school. You know, just let that stuff go and just ask yourself, like, what really makes me happy? And if something's not making you happy, like, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if we could go into, let's say 50%, but I prefer it to be 80% of training sessions and just go, I'm so freaking excited about this training session today. Like, this is it. You know, this is what yes. You know what I mean? Like, how good would that be? And how different would it be? But you just don't see it. You know, you sat at the coffee machine or the water cooler at work and, you know, old mate is like, what are you up to tonight? Need to go and do 10 miles. Like, really? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, so we can get that genuine purpose and excitement for, and this, guys, again, this is not just running, this is life. You know, if we can get that excitement, it's going to be super awesome. We're in a sport and a segment of a sport, ultra running, that really, and everyone knows that's listening, but to reiterate, it's incredible how it carries over into life. Is just, it's super awesome. So we should be excited. We are blessed, if you want to call it that, that we can go out and run and that we do have these places to run. But sometimes I think we can just take it for granted. We just need to slow down and just get super excited and then speed up. Slow down and then get excited and speed up. So yeah, that's but strength, you guys, everyone needs to do their strength. You know, it probably is the biggest missing component. I don't know. They're all important. I'm just waffling now.
I think it's great.
Yeah, I think strength's a major takeaway. But yeah. Well, here's the deal, man. We are going to wrap up. And first, I'm going to talk to the Ultra Running Guys family. Again, just thank you so much for taking the time. And go check out Marcus. So it's Marcus Smith at MJD_Smith on Instagram. You've got your link tree on there. So there's all kinds of stuff on there, but MJDSmith.com. That's where that book list is that I was just talking about. And then we'll post it in there, but the Fight for Every Breath. You've also got Smith Street Paleo, right? You've got another business. And that's probably local though, right?
It's just local food business.
So if you happen to be in UAE, although you do have some good paleo dessert recipes on there, but anyways, go check out Marcus. Like I said, if you guys could just give us the review, share with your friends, tell them what's in your ears, means the world to us. Our motto is just show up, Marcus. And you show up day after day after day, and it's fun to watch. And
appreciate it.
Dude, we appreciate your time so much.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Great questions, great chat. I can't believe we've been chatting for an hour and a half. That was awesome. Thank you. And thank you so much for applying to me and for what you guys are doing. It's inspiring. And as you said, I love the tone, the vibe of the show. And hopefully from this show, someone goes and does something and enjoys it. We've done a good job. So I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we're going to keep you around for just a minute while we do a segment for Patreon. But for everybody else, we will talk soon and cut.
Good morning. Good evening. I don't know what it is.
It's bedtime for us.
We schedule it for 90 minutes. That includes kind of the, you know, this time talking, the time to record. And then we do.
All right. Let's rock and roll, please.
We'll kick us off.
I need to go to bed. I won't laugh.
Yes, you will.
I will. Number six, using an American accent. Tell us what you had for dinner last night.
Last night, I just had a nice steak and some mayonnaise and potatoes.
Why are we all Southern country? So anything that hurts my feelings, we're cutting it out.
I was going to say, what level of insults can I throw at you guys?
Now that will keep in. That'll be fun. We'll keep that in.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We have definitely stalked you a lot. So hopefully you'll be like, dang, they have researched me a little bit.
I appreciate it, guys. You're doing good stuff. And that's a really nice chat. So thank you.
I appreciate
it. I hope you enjoyed it. And if there's anything we can ever do for you, man, you know where we're at. We're friends now. We're going to claim it. So you're stuck.
This is going to be a late one.
I'm excited though, man. I'm pretty pumped.
Well, I didn't say I wasn't excited. I just said I'm going to be tired.
That's actually what I like when I sort of found you guys, because you buzz off each other and it's cool. It's it's nice. Well, you're looking at each other like you don't, but you
actually we love it. Yeah. All right, listen, thank you so much. We recognize the fact that you are probably just hanging on just for a couple more minutes as you're finishing up your run. But really, we do want to give you a huge thank you for the constant support that you've shown us. We hear you and we feel you. And the best way for us to continue to grow is for you to share us with your friends. Tell them what you put in your ears when you're out there on a long run. Hit the like button, leave us a comment, leave a review, and give us some direct feedback on what you like about the show and also what you don't like. We're here to improve and do it for you.
And it really means the world. And listen, if you would like to support financially, you can connect with us on Patreon at patreon.com/theultrarunningguys, or you can use the support link in the show notes. Any and all support goes directly back into growing the show and helping us get better at what we love to do, which is to serve all of you. And with that, finish up that run, get cleaned up, and just show up. Clean.